Blog Talk Radio.
While the National Association of Black Journalists held their 38th annual national convention in Orlando, Florida last week, the Cleveland Plain Dealer laid off one-third of its newsroom staff. Last year, the New Orleans Times-Picayune cut staff and is now published only three times a week. The impact on these cutbacks is embedded in the mounting evidence that social media, the internet, cable news organizations, and citizen journalism have revolutionized the face of journalism throughout the world. We'll talk with NABJ immediate past president Greg Lee, newly installed president Bob Butler, Boston chapter president Gary Washburn, and Boston University associate professor Michelle Johnson to learn how these changes are affecting members of their organization. Regardless of how you get your news, the impact of these changes are significant to all communities across the world. Today's show will give insight into how African-American journalists are adapting to an industry in transition. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas, and we welcome you to Focus on Empowerment. I have been on a whirlwind. I am just home a couple of days, having been on the road for almost 2 weeks, starting off at a Christian education conference in Dover, Delaware. I actually broadcast live 2 weeks ago from that conference, then moved on to the National Speakers Association conference in Philadelphia. Just a real energy charger for me as a member of that organization. And then the moved came back home very briefly and then took off again for Orlando, Florida, for the National Association of Black Journalists National Convention, their 38th annual convention. I was a member some years ago, and I've renewed my dues because I'm very excited that conference is coming to Boston next year. So I am excited that the Greater Boston Convention and Business Bureau sponsored my trip to Orlando. It was fantastic, wonderful, insightful workshops that were held. And as I said in the promo piece, either if you're looking at it on Blog Talk or if you're looking at my blog, tellcarol.com, every major news organization goes to the National Association of Black Journalists National Convention every year. So CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, Fox News, all of them were there, whether it's print or online or radio or television. They had a presence in the house, should I say. About 1,800 attendees were in attendance at that conference in Orlando at the Gaylord Palms Hotel. And they talked about a number of things. Clearly, some of the news items. Trayvon Martin's parents were there at one of the plenary sessions that was hosted. And Reverend Al Sharpton was a part of that plenary session. So you had hard news there. And then you had the latest in technology, just actually how I'm now using my iPhone for this radio broadcast and how it also is used for news now, where you literally have citizen journalists who are either CNN iReporters or they're reporting news across the globe, or they happen to catch an incident while they're on a plane or on a bus or a train. They pull out their iPhone and they capture it either audio or video and then beam it up to one of the news organizations. That literally is how news is being transmitted. And I remember in 2009 when I came kicking and screaming into the world of Twitter, thanks to my very dear friend Rosie Horner in New Jersey, who one late night taught me how to use Twitter. She was in her home in New Jersey. I was here in Boston, and she walked me through it for probably 45 minutes to an hour or more, with me not knowing that literally that next weekend would come the post-election revolutionary activities that took place in Iran. And that's where Twitter really became significant, with cutting news, breaking news, so much so they were actually supposed to do maintenance that weekend And the U.S. State Department asked that they delay their maintenance because so much news traffic was being fed through Twitter because of what was taking place in Tehran and around Iran, that they were literally the conveyor of information and news in that part of the world. So that let me know that social media and the internet was going to have a very long-lasting effect on the way we receive news, the news that we talk about, and those who are involved in the industry. So fast forward with this conference that we attended last week, we then really saw the results of it. Literally, during one of the sessions, it was announced that a third of the staff of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, which is the largest newspaper in Ohio, they were cutting one-third of their newsroom staff. That's pretty significant when you think about the importance and the relevance of newspapers in this country for over 200 years. You have other newspapers, such as the New Orleans Times-Picayune, who cut their staff. Now they're being published only three times a week, and there are other newspapers around the country where that fact is also taking place. So this conference gave me an idea, gave me the opportunity to not only promote Boston for the conference coming next year, but also to sort of check the temperature and just get a gauge of how journalists were really feeling about their own jobs, job security, and where their opportunities and their careers were headed in the future. There are a lot of young people who attend this conference, and I'll do a little setup when we play the interview for Michelle Johnson, but they are an integral part of this organization, literally delivering the news in paper fashion every day, and they also have a wonderful website that I'll share with you in just a little bit. But it's a really it's an embedded traditional organization that's been around almost 40 years. There are 44 founders of this organization who work for news organizations around the United States, but felt the need that from an African-American perspective, banding together, providing training and development, and learning about what the opportunities were in the marketplace, that was a way to really start this organization. So in that spirit, it has operated year after year after year, getting bigger and better each and every year. NABJ used to be a part of a collaborative effort with Hispanic, Asian American, Native American journalists around the country called Unity. Unity is still going on. But for whatever reason, there were some internal friction points and problematic issues that reared their ugly head. And for that reason, NABJ pulled out of Unity. Unity takes place every 4 years where these organizations would come together and have a unified convention. I've been to two of them, and they were wonderful, outstanding. So I'm sorry that NABJ is not a part of Unity, and I hope in the future they will rejoin that great organization. Every 4 years, it actually happens during the presidential year, so I've heard presidential candidates come to the Unity conferences. And it also, from a multicultural perspective, gave me an opportunity to talk with other journalists of other ethnicities, and just to see how things are going in their way of life, in their walk of life. So from a communications perspective and just dialogue, it was great. And I hope that sometime in the future, NABJ will rejoin Unity. But in the meantime, NABJ is a very strong organization. It was the largest organization and the first organization for people of color to begin, so it certainly has been a pioneer in that respective. There were awards programs during last week's conference, including the NABJ Journalist of the Year, Roland Martin. Roland Martin is with TV1 and also with CNN and has done an awful lot to open doors for other journalists and to really have a presence in the television space. He's been around for a number of years, and when he gave his acceptance speech, He actually paid a lot of tribute to NABJ as really jump-starting his career path. He was a student when he first came on board. He's in his mid-40s at this point, and then remained active with the organization, has only missed a couple of the conferences. What you find with this conference, it's like a homegoing, because for a lot of these journalists, they're working in marketplaces where maybe they're the only one, the only investigative reporter, the only senior editor, the only whatever. And so coming to NABJ provides them an opportunity to share space and to break bread with other African Americans who share the same interests and knowledge in terms of news and telling stories in this format. So Roland Martin really explained that with the award that he received and his acceptance that he also had received. Really big shout out to Derek Jackson, who is a columnist, longtime columnist at the Boston Globe. He was also an award recipient. They gave out almost 100 awards. And so during that ceremony, that's when Derek Jackson received his award, and many, many others. Michelle Johnson, you'll hear in a few minutes. So I want to play now the interview that I did with Greg Lee, who is the outgoing president of NABJ. He is now with the Sun Sentinel in Florida. He is a senior a sports editor and has been in sports for many, many years. He was here at the Boston Globe before moving down to Florida. He was actually here in Boston for 8 years, and it really under his administration that the organization made the decision to come to Boston next year for their convention. So we say thank you so much, Greg Lee, for that influence that you had. And now his successor has come up the ranks again in the organization. He is a reporter for CBS Radio out in California, Bob Butler, and had a wonderful interview with him. I thank Bob and his family because I had an opportunity to sit at his table along with Lisa Devernay, who is with the Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau. So these are two interviews that I think will be very interesting to you to just get a sense of what these leaders think and what they're doing and how important this organization is to those who are in the field. Greg Lee, the immediate past president of the National Association of Black Journalists, and now the newly elected president and newly installed president, Bob Butler. Well, I'm now talking to the national president of the National Association of Black Journalists, who is responsible for the 2014 conference coming to Boston. Hello, Greg Lee.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm happy that you're stopping by here. You're a busy man. What's this conference been for you?
Well, this is my last conference as president, and Orlando brings fine memories. This is a great convention this year, a lot of activity, engagement, and learning and professional development, but a lot, most importantly, networking and coming together, reunite together.
And so last year, 2012, was New Orleans,
yep.
Now Orlando, all fun cities. And then you were responsible, obviously, for Boston coming in 2014.
Yeah, Boston's my second home. I was there for 8 years, and it's more than my membership to learn the culture of Boston. And they're going to enjoy that being in the downtown Sheraton at the Coffee Place. They'll be able to walk everywhere to learn about the city and to just enjoy what the city has to offer with the cultural life, the nightlife. It's going to be a great time, and I'm looking forward to coming to my second home.
That's great. Now, as president, this is such an important organization, and I look at NABJ as being on the cusp of new everything. What is it like in your leadership position with so many members who are in transition, who are going to have to embrace new technology and new media? What's it like for you as president in guiding this direction, this organization forward?
Yeah, I think just being a lot of people have gone through this transition, a lot of them lost jobs or trying to continue to compete and stay relevant. And what my job is to do, not only just to comfort them and let them know they can do this, but we also provide professional training for them during our convention. Because the budget cuts and stuff, training is not in the budgets anymore, newsroom. So come in here, give them that experience, but also to advocate for them for jobs. I mean, I know a lot of people in the industry in terms of who can hire, and they come to me to find qualified candidates. So my job is to get them trained here so I can drop their names for those positions. So as president, that's my job, it's my charge to make sure that everyone's transitions are easy. It's not going to be an easy thing, but to try to lighten the load for them.
Well, you've done a great job, Greg Lee. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right.
All right.
Great.
So I'm really happy we now have the new president of the National Association of Black Journalists who just happened to pop by our booth. Congratulations. Would love to hear more about the focus that you will have as the leader of this great organization.
Well, I didn't just happen by. I came by to thank you for being here at our convention. We're going to be in Boston next year. My focus really is about jobs for our members. You know, we people join NABJ to get jobs, and I think it's very important that we become a clearinghouse for jobs, as it says in our Constitution. I think that ought to be a benefit of your membership. So jobs is number one. Number two, advocacy. Making sure that the industry reflects the country. The diversity is very important to me. And also, we have to make sure we have the resources to provide the training that we need to do the things that our members need. Training in not just new media, but also traditional media. We can't forget about writing.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, where do you see your membership? I now have rejoined NABJ as a member. All right. Where do you see your membership in terms of this transition that we're in, where you have traditional news organizations that are downsizing and their budgets are getting smaller, and then the big wide world out there that is unknown for many and where there is a learning curve in terms of going up?
Well, the industry is changing. It is shrinking. And those who work in television today may work in radio tomorrow. Those who work in radio today might work in newspapers tomorrow or magazines. Newspapers, while they are changing, they're still going to be newspapers, even if it's only online. I think all of our members need to learn all those skills, video skills, audio skills, how to write for a website, how to write for a newspaper or a magazine, because that's what the industry wants. They want people that can do all those things. So our job, our charge, is to make sure we have the funding to do the training so we can do all those things.
Great. Well, I love the fact that this organization and this event itself is a personal development training mecca, should I say, for the industry, and it's almost like a family reunion for those who come back year after year. I'm sure with your presidency and your legacy, it will go forward. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It is a family reunion. I mean, people that you've worked with 20 years ago, you see them here. I mean, I'm very happy. I'm humbled that the members are trusting me for the next 2 years. When we come to Boston, you know, in 2014, it's going to be a great convention. I know Boston's looking forward to it. All I have to say is, you know, you got to broil the lobster, not boil it.
Thank you so much. Congratulations. All righty. Thank you. All right.
And the fun part is that Bob Butler was born in Chelsea, Massachusetts. So he, in many ways, is coming back home. So two presidents with a connection to the Boston area. We thank them very much for that interview. And as you could tell, I was at the exhibit booth that the Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau had sponsored. They actually underwrote the party that took place after the banquet on Saturday night. Had a fun time. We passed out lobsters, little lobster stickies, and T-shirts and bags. It was just an awful lot of fun, nicely coordinated between the Greater Boston CVB, the Boston Globe, and those who were participating. Also, a big shout-out to Kelly Chung, who was there blogging for the Bay State Banner, and she is a wonderful PR person, has a great company here in Boston, and a longtime member, affiliate member, associate member of NABJ. She was also attending the conference and working with us as well. I'm going to play two other interviews, but just wanted to share with you the kind of people who were at the convention from the Boston area. If you know some of these personalities, like LaToya Edwards, she's a news anchor woman on WCEN, on NESA, New England Cable News Network. She was there participating there at the conference. She is also going to be my keynote speaker on November 7th. We're going to talk all about that starting next week. So she will be our keynote speaker with the November 7th Multicultural Conference. So we had a chance to chat with LaToya. Also, Rondella Richardson, who is on WCVB, a news reporter there. She stopped by our booth. We had a nice chat, took a picture with her. Great person as well. And then on the national news site, Toray, who is with The Cycle. That's a news program that's on MSNBC. Toray was there just walking the halls. I took a picture with him. Also, Don Lemon was the MC at the banquet events on Saturday. So, again, the fun thing about these kind of conferences is that these are people that are a part of the association. They're just there like every other member, but you see them on television, and frequently it's more difficult to see them if you're at another kind of conference when you come to this conference, it's much, much easier to interact with them, have conversations, and learn more. So now I'd like to play, and I'm also struck by what Bob Butler said. His focus will be on jobs, advocacy, and training, because, again, many of the members of NABJ, all of them are, not all of them, but many of them are employees, so they are facing employee-related issues just like any other industry. They're looking for jobs. There are lots of interviewing that takes place. That's why all the news organizations are there. And so they struggle with some of the same issues that the man on the street struggles with. We just sort of put them in a different category because they are journalists, whether on television, radio, online, or print, but they have the same struggles that everybody else has. So now we're going to play two interviews by Gary Washburn. He is a sports editor at the Boston Globe and is the chapter president here in Boston for NABJ, and now an award-winning associate professor at Boston University. Michelle Johnson, wonderful person I had a chance to meet at the conference, and she directs the online activities for the students. I told you earlier that the students are very important in this association, and what she does is they bring in a certain number of students. They have to apply for these coveted positions, and so the daily newspaper that is put out to the conference attendees, that's directed by one NABJ member, typically connected with some academic institution. Then there's the online version. That's what Michelle Johnson is responsible for. And then there is the video. They have a really, really classy and sophisticated news program that loops on the hotel channel. So you can get all caught up on all the activities within NABJ, and all that's directed by the students. And there is a senior person, probably somebody related to an academic or institution, that actually directs these students. So they run the newspaper, the channel that's on television, and also the online activities. So we're going to talk now with Gary Washburn, the president of the Boston chapter, also with the Boston Globe, and the award-winning now Michelle Johnson, who is an associate professor at Boston University.
I'm happy because now I'm talking to Gary Washburn, the current president of the Boston chapter of the National Association of Black Journalists. Hi, Gary.
How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. We're excited because this conference is coming to Boston next year. What is the significance of Boston and the reputation of NABJ and the connection we now have?
I think it says a lot that the organization has selected Boston. They were really impressed when they came and visited last year. They took a visit. I think there's just so much unknown about Boston. Obviously, you know the great sports teams. You know that it's a very historic city. But I don't think people realize the scenery, that it's off the water, that there's so much activity, things to do, great restaurants, great places to go. And I think that the committee saw that, and it was great that they chose Boston for the first time, because obviously, they've been all over the East Coast, got D.C. and New York, Philadelphia over the years, but never Boston. So this is a great achievement for the city of Boston.
Well, timing is everything, and I am the chair of the Multicultural Committee for the CVB's activities, and so we're working very hard for these kind of organizations to come to the city and do exactly that, to discover all the hidden richness and heritage of the city. When you look historically at Boston, you look at things that happened in the past racially, et cetera, how far have we come since the days of the 70s?
Well, I think a great deal. I'm born and raised in Los Angeles, and obviously during the time where the Lakers and Celtics were going at it, and Boston was considered a city that was not so nice for people of color, that it was not a good place to live for people of color. And I've been here 4 years, and it's been great. I enjoy the city. All my friends and family from back home in Los Angeles are surprised, and they can't believe it. And I tell you got to come and visit. You got to hang out. You know, being from California, you've got to drive 5 to 6 hours to get to the next state, where I tell my friends and family, I'm 50 minutes from New Hampshire, I'm 45 minutes from Providence. I could be in a different state almost in an hour, in 3 or 4 different states. It's got that, you know, and then there's the Cape, and there's so many things to do. And I think it's come a long way from what it was in the 1970s. And I think that stigma is still kind of attached to it. However, I think that's changed.
Well, certainly bringing the conference and this prestigious group of reporters, journalists, television anchor persons, everyone in new media, bringing them to Boston will give them a direct access of why our city matters so much. Gary Washburn, thank you so
thank
much
you.
For being my guest.
Thank you.
Well, I'm talking to Michelle Johnson, a legend here with NABJ. She's running the online student component of the conference. Hello, Michelle, and she's going to be honored tonight also. Really glad to meet you, and just wanted to get your sense of the importance of the student activities within NABJ.
Sure. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your thoughts about my award. I'm from Boston University. I run the Student Online Project here. And essentially, we have the whole project are about 30 students who come from colleges all over the United States. They come here, they cover the conference, they write stories, they shoot video, they shoot pictures, and they work right alongside professional journalists also from news organizations all over. So everybody from the New York Times to CNN to, you know, MSNBC, we're all here, and also a lot of academics, a lot of professors as well. So we're all here teaching them, you know, how to do breaking news type of journalism as well as features. So it's a great experience for everybody all around.
It's one. I know that online is so important, as I've gone to a couple of workshops, and this whole shift to new media is one that is sort of gripping and grabbing not only this industry but many industries as well. Do you see the shift really helping to sort of stage a new level of journalism going forward?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we teach all of our students. Of course, we're focused completely on online in our project. Well, we've taught all of our students how to use all these newfangled tools to do journalism. So we're able to, you know, for instance, live tweet all the sessions that are here. I've got a student right now who's going to be live streaming a press conference with Trayvon Martin's family. You know, she's got a little rig with an iPod on it. All she has to do is hit record, and she can go out to, you know, the entire planet. So that's a huge change in the way we used to do things. We used to go out, report stuff, come back, and the next day you would see it in the paper. We now operate continuously. It's continuous news production. So they're learning to do that right here at the convention center.
And that's the beauty of NABJ. Thank you so much, Michelle.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
So those are just little teasers of how exciting last week's conference was, the kind of representation that's there, just the energy and just the experience base, unbelievable. Also at the conference, I was sitting down having dinner one day with Kelly Chung, who was also on the panel Going Solo, the Joys and Pains of Independent PR Consulting. And she said, look over there, there's Simeon Booker. And she acquainted me and just brought me up to date that Simeon Booker was the Washington Bureau Chief for Ebony Magazine for 48 years. And he was the first reporter from the he was the Washington Bureau Chief for Jet Magazine. And he's an elderly gentleman now, but he has just written a new book. He's the author of The Conscious, A Reporter's Account of the Civil Rights Movement. And Simeon Booker was the first black reporter for the Washington Post and covered the 1955 murder of Emmett Till. Just amazing, just those kind of persons who were at the convention, and the significance of that horrible murder now being sort of compared with Trayvon Martin's murder. He covered it for Ebony Jet. And in 1982, he became the first black journalist to win the National Press Club's Fourth Estate Award for Lifetime Contributions. He was at the conference. What an honor to have seen him. And I'm so glad that he was there and was being honored accordingly. Joy Reid was there with MSNBC. Goldie Taylor was there with MSNBC. They had Adrienne Samuels, who was a senior writer for Ebony Magazine, used to be at the Boston Globe. And then stars like Nia Long and Taye Diggs, they were there. So it was just a great conference to attend. I'm looking forward to next year's conference here in Boston. We will do more interviews like that with movers and shakers just to give you a sense of these industries and how they're changing and how it really is impacting those professionals and how it affects us as well. Have a great week or weekend, and we will see you next week. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you soon.